Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. I am Randy Big R Hire, and joining me, as always, live via satellite from Berkeley, California, Will Scoville. How's it going, Will?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Coming in with a bit of energy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mellow out from the top there. But,
Yeah, I hear you. How have you been? I know that since the last time we recorded, there's been yet another major weather catastrophe.
Oh yeah, we're all marveling at how, like, right now we're experiencing unseasonable warmth and stuff. I mean, today it's like 50 or whatever, but it's about to be in the 70s next week. Last week, I couldn't drive. Like, everything was shut down for days because we had a huge snowstorm that just, like, crippled our whole city and state. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we're north of Texas, but everybody saw in the news what was happening with them and stuff too. It's just crazy, man.
Yeah. I will say that, like, Texas is getting a lot of the Texas, government is getting a lot of well-deserved criticism about how they dealt with that, but that should not, kind of lessen the impact of this storm across that entire region.
Yeah.
Even places that were a little bit more prepared, like Oklahoma, like, still got hit pretty hard and it was still pretty bad.
We did. And I mean, people, it wasn't the whole state. I mean, whatever, but, like, in October I had no power for 3 weeks because of an ice storm. And I mean, it was only super cold for, like, about four of those days, you know, and then
still, man, that's
annoyingly warm for some of the weeks that I was I had no power. But yeah, it still was like a nightmare, you know. And this, it got so cold that there's tons of pipes broke everywhere and stuff. I mean, it still caused a lot of property damage and stuff, even though it wasn't and there was no ice necessarily this time. No, less ice, I guess.
Yeah, a YouTube guy I follow, he's out of Austin. It just kind of was like, hey, no video this week. Instead, I'll just kind of cover what's going on here at my place. And it was bad. It was real bad.
They're not prepared for that kind of stuff at all.
No. I mean, they're so far south, they rarely get it. But, you know, we are finding out that there were certain precautions that could have been in place that would have helped, make this not as bad as it ended up being. You know, it's still going to be a disaster either way, but, you know, there's a certain responsibility that certain folks should have, that they just kind of seem to have ditched in Texas. And, you know, this is where it got them, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't want to say to anyone, this is what you deserve. It's just that because they don't, nobody deserves this, honestly.
No, the people that live there are just like, I mean, think about how, like, I don't go around thinking about, oh, I hope legislation is protecting me, so in case some, like, horrible thing happens, you know, or whatever. It's like, it's the government. But I mean, voting, who they vote on, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Anyway,
shift
gears hard this week.
And more lighthearted news, the movie we're reviewing this week. Mm. Why don't you take it away, Randy?
Pretty, from the master of satire, in my opinion. I feel like this is a Todd Solondz. We're covering this week. Okay, sorry. This week we're covering Dark Horse. Todd Solondz is 2011 movie, I believe, is when it's from. Mm-hmm. To me, Todd Solondz, in case you don't know who he is, and actually we're going to do a new segment on this, aren't we? We didn't even.
Yeah, let's before this. Let's kind of start this new segment. This is what I'm going to try out. It's called the Wiki Roundup. So we're going to give a little bit of information about high level that we're pulling straight from Wikipedia about this movie. Randy, you are correct. 2011 is the year this came out. Written and directed by Todd Solondz, stars Justin Bartha, Selma Blair, Mia Farrow, Jordan Gelber, Donna Murphy, Christopher Walken, Zachary Booth, and Asif Mandvi from The Daily Show. It's about this guy in his mid to late 30s who's living with his parents, working for his dad. has a more successful brother, and really he has a lot of bad personality traits and is very, if you're familiar with Todd Solondz at all, it is a very familiar character type, and it really just follows him and the people involved in his life through a certain part of his life. But as with all Todd Solondz movies, there's a little bit more to it than that. So, which we'll kind of uncover as we dig deeper into this review. So,
yes. And the name of that Randy, new segment is Wiki Roundup. Am I correct?
Wiki Roundup. That is Wiki Roundup, because I am not very creative in picking names for things.
I love it. Anyway. Yeah, no.
So, why this movie this week, Randy? Why Todd Solondz this week?
I just, I don't know, last week, and I think I maybe found out about this when it happened. After I posted, I was like, oh yeah, maybe I already knew this, but I just forgot, because this year, past year, has been so crazy. But it occurred to me that Matthew Faber, who played the oldest wiener child, I can't remember what his name.
Oh yeah.
What his name is. Now I'm all of a sudden at the zero hour here live by satellite. I'm blanking on what his character's name is, but I realized that he died last year. Mm-hmm. And that made me really sad, because he was an actor that wasn't in a lot of movies, but in my opinion, his performance as that character,
Mark Wiener,
thank you. As Mark Wiener in Welcome to the Dollhouse and Palindromes is one of the best just performances in any movie ever. He feels so real. He's just like a real, like, he's just like, if you've ever known like somebody who's just like kind of a nerd, you know, but like mm-hmm. in a way that I don't know how else to describe it, except it just felt real. It felt like somebody I knew in real life, and the kind of person that you never see really in a movie, you know? And
yeah.
It's like, wow. And that movie's full of people like that. Welcome to the Dollhouse. And
right.
It just started getting,
and I do want to mention
the wheels. Go ahead.
And Welcome to the Dollhouse especially is like, I was thinking of a way to describe it, and there was a movie that has come out since that movie has come out that I think is the kind of mirror image to it, like the opposite of it. And that movie is Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
And it is a positive negative version of those, where you have this very fun and campy movie in Napoleon Dynamite. And then you take that same aesthetic and you apply it to this extremely dark comedy that plays those same elements for the same laughs, but is dealing with a much, much, much darker subject matter.
No, totally.
It's a very interesting way to look at that. And it makes Todd Solondz a very interesting filmmaker, I think.
Dude, in my opinion, he's the best American filmmaker of the 90s, in my opinion. Like, I had that epiphany when I was posting about Welcome to the Dollhouse and how meaningful that movie is to me, and Palindromes, and just going through his filmography and stuff. And I was thinking, like, I would rather watch like a Desert Island movie or whatever. I would take that over Pulp Fiction or anything Quentin Tarantino ever made. Or even like, I just watched Dazed and Confused last night, and I think that's like a perfect movie. I would take it over that movie. You know, I just think Welcome to the Dollhouse to me is just like, it's one of the best movies ever. It's in my top 10.
Yeah.
I
think that
it's great
with that movie. And then again, with this movie, with Dark Horse, I think Todd Solondz is very good at creating these characters that are just repulsive, that are awful people,
very ugly,
that have the worst thoughts in the world, but are incredibly relatable because they are your thoughts.
Yeah.
It is your inner monologue that character is expressing, and it is hard to watch. It is incredibly hard to watch, but it's so relatable and fascinating that you wonder how this guy was able to kind of tap into you, into the shit that you've never talked about with anybody else ever. Yes. Not even the people closest to you.
Yes.
And express it so clearly.
Yes.
And it's kind of terrifying. And the fact that he's making a comedy about it.
And it is brutally like funny. It like, yeah. There's so many parts where you like, it's not even like something that's like hard to watch, like cringe funny. Like, I mean, some of it is, but
yeah,
like, some of it was just like, it like hits you in the face, like just how like dark it is or whatever. And we don't mean dark in the way that this is like people get shot with guns and stuff. It's all, everything is like, just real everyday meanness and stuff like that, you know? But I feel like one of the things that also separates him from movies that are like this, that are just too mean, is that like, that's not his point of view. You know, like he's making a movie about these people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like Todd Solondz is a mean character or a mean person.
No,
you know, necessarily.
He's always looking at these people just completely uncritically and letting them exist in this space and make the choices on their own and then not guiding them to any certain point of view. These characters have these points of view. Whether that's good or bad is really up to you, and the filmmaker is not going to guide you in any way to tell you what decision you need to make.
Yeah.
And that is difficult to deal with sometimes. And I think, you know, you instill those things into a main character who is not like, you know, this isn't like, oh, they're an anti-hero. No, absolutely not. They're a very real person with incredibly complex and sometimes very bad personality traits.
Yes.
And that we just have to take them as a whole. We don't have to like them, but we do have to understand them in order to follow this story.
Yeah. And yeah, this character, the main character played by, it's not even the top build. For some reason, it must be, is it alphabetical, the listing? But it's the Jordan Gelbert or Gelber or something like that.
Yep.
But she's an actor, like, I have no idea what he's in. This is like a powerhouse performance, like just true dedication to being, like, he's so smug. He's like, I mean, this movie to me is one of the most disturbing of all Todd's, or it's hard to watch of Todd Solondz movies, because like I feel like I really know people, I've known people that are like very close to this person, you know, and it's just like, it's so brutal. It's funny, but it's like, he lives at home, he like shops, he buys toys all day long and stuff, and he's like extremely mean to his, like, his parents, his coworkers, his friends or whatever. Like, he doesn't really have friends, but like, it's like, he's just, and he's so, it's just, he's so smug through the whole movie. Like, he has no point where he learns that he should not, that he's not smarter than everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he never repents or anything. And I just think it's like, it takes, you know, the dude had like true dedication to act the role, and it's just like, it's perfect. I mean, I think, goddamn, like this, the central performance in this movie is just like amazing, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, to kind of get into the title of this movie, Dark Horse, and that term comes up twice. Once Abe, our main character, mentions it, and the idea of, you know, the team, the Giants, being a dark horse, and how his father, played by Christopher Walken, was always rooting for the dark horse. And so this kind of comes in, I guess it comes in at a third time at the very end.
Yes.
And so it really, you are set up of the expectation that Abe is the dark horse of these two sons. One is very successful, and the other one has the potential, the dark horse meaning having the potential to overcome these obstacles, continuously getting beaten down, but then coming out on top of the end when nobody expected them to. And following a person where this is set up as an expectation, they even think they are that themselves, because Abe is so sure of himself, so sure that everyone else is beating me down, but I am right and I will overcome this, but that never comes.
He's so confident.
It usually works out that way too. You know, this idea of a dark horse is really a fantasy. And that is really interesting because this movie, and this is something that Solanz has done before, most notably, I think, in Life During Wartime, when the John Lovitz character from Happiness comes back, played by Paul Rubens.
Yes.
He's a dead ex-date mm-hmm. of this character.
Yes.
And this one, he has certain fantasies about him talking to his father's secretary.
Yes.
And the type of person that she is and his fantasy about her. He goes into these like long diatribes about this, you know, he's built up this fantasy about people being against him and working against him. And then when he finally says this during a phone call to his brother, it sounds fucking ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because he is just so self-centered yeah. on himself. So it's just like this weird thing about like these fantasies kind of coming up about and him playing yes. it over and over and over to the point where he's so confident that at the very beginning, he asks Selma Blair to marry him and is really a decision that causes him even more troubles.
And he's so pathetic and he fucks it up from minute one,
mm-hmm.
but still gets so far with her.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's crazy how far he gets with her, you know? And like, but yeah, this movie I love it. I mean, he's very experimental, like in the way mm-hmm. he does things. He famously, the MPAA wouldn't allow him to have a sex scene in storytelling with actually the same character that Selma Blair is playing. In that movie, in this movie, they're like canonically mm-hmm. the same character. But where there's like a sex scene, but he had because some clause in his contract allowed him to keep this scene in, but put a huge red box over them having the image of them having sex. And like, that's how the movie is. And he like loves it, you know? So like in this movie, I saw he was just like, let's film in front of Toys R Us, and then didn't get the rights, so it's just blurred out in the movie. I love that, dude. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was something I noticed. And, I have not seen all of Todd Solondz's movies, but I have seen a lot of them. I have not seen Palindromes, but I have seen Storytelling,
mm-hmm.
and I have seen both versions, both the uncensored and the censored version. Mm-hmm. And the censored version is a pretty big fuck you to the MPAA.
Yes.
And what it was, as you described, is just a very open sex scene with Selma Blair. And the MPAA said no, essentially, and he had to cut that out. And he was like, okay, I'll just put a box over it, like a big Nickelodeon orange mm-hmm. box over it.
Yep.
So the audience knew it was happening, but couldn't see it.
And the language is what's really rough about, that's not the thing that's rough about it, but like, you get the entire, it's just like, it doesn't change anything. Yeah. By having the box ever, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's that's hard to watch too. I mean, either way.
Oh my God. That movie. we can talk more about Solanz, but like, let's just like roll through this real quick. I just wanted to like, what I was bringing up about him being experimental, I think this movie, he really deals like and you mentioned in Life During Wartime, he has that too, where like she sees like visions of Paul Rubens and stuff like that. And this is like, so much of the movie was like misdirects of like, is this really happening? It's like, no, it's all in his head and stuff like that. And to the point where something extremely like fantastical happens at the end. It's like, what? But you're just like, you're fine with it. I guess at the end, it's like, I guess that is what really happened. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, all that stuff, like, and all the monologues, I think Todd Solondz's finest, like, monologue that he's written for anybody is when the ex-boyfriend with the full jaw thing.
Yeah.
He's like speaking through this like crazy thing on his jaw because Abe hit him. He didn't hit him that hard, but in Abe's fantasy, he like full on like broke his jaw, you know?
Yeah.
But he gives this monologue about how like Abe is just like a loser, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's just so, it's so brutal and honest, you know, about what the character yeah. is and stuff. And it's all Abe's in Abe's head, you know, and he's seeing his mom. Like he just has, I don't know. It's interesting how it plays with like fantasy versus reality, like heavily this movie does.
Well, also I want to say about, you know, his mom you mentioned, I want to mention like everyone around him, you know, his brother is a successful doctor in California.
Mm-hmm.
And calls him. Abe has made this story up about how, why he resents him and why they hate each other and why they don't talk. And it's really probably more the brother just like, man, my brother is hard to deal with.
Yeah.
But also he also gets angry too. That he doesn't try to calm him down, and he enables him to a certain extent. More so does his mother and father, played by Christopher Walken and Mia Farrow. And they're like, his dad allows him to keep working for him despite the fact that he's a total fuck up. Like, doesn't do anything.
Yes.
And then his mom just, you know, they both allow him to live with them.
Well, they enable him, they frustratingly enable him through mm-hmm. the whole movie. And it's like, it's another thing that's hard. It's very realistic, you know, like in that way, you know, this movie.
Yeah.
That's one of the beautiful things about Todd Solondz is that he has things that are extremely realistic. And I think him touching on thoughts that we don't ever speak, but like we have, you know, like our ugliest feelings and stuff, and him putting that in the movie makes it feel more real. So then mm-hmm. when something crazy happens, like in storytelling, when the little boy successfully hypnotizes his father into loving him more, like, mm-hmm. you know, like he has little like tinges of magical realism that happen in his movies, and they're kind of jarring, but they work because it's, I don't know. He's one of those directors too, where everybody talks the same way, kind of, you know, or they don't talk, you know what I mean? Like they're all like I feel like early Wes Anderson is definitely like that. And like maybe all of it is actually, now that I think about it, but like, and not in a bad way, but it's just like, it's part of his style is like the way that people talk and stuff in the movies. I don't know. But just having like, it's very like written by a person, you know, I don't know. Kevin Smith is another person. Like when it's good, it's like, it's their style comes through. And it's like, I mean, Shakespeare is another example of a writer that does this anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, kind of going into that touches of magical realism and kind of the fantasies that we see across kind of like a lot of his movies. Like there's even the point where in Welcome to the Dollhouse, Wiener Dog has this whole fantasy about finding a kidnapper who has kidnapped her sister
mm-hmm.
and finds them. And then everyone recognizes her, an accomplishment of hers mm-hmm. and tells them that they love her
mm-hmm.
and which is all she's really searching for,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the point where this dude who is ultimately looking for the same thing but doesn't know how to express it
mm-hmm.
calls her up and says he's going to rape her,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's how he knows to ask her out on a date and say that he likes her. And her,
and that is so Brendan Sexton III in one of the greatest child performances of all Ooh. Time.
Both of them to deal with that and to her to accept that because she is also looking for the same thing and doesn't know how to express it. And here is someone looking for it in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And that is hard to watch.
And then she levels, you know, like super hard abuse at her other friend who's like her best. And it's just like, there's no heroes in Solondz.
No, world. It is. You know, and I think that, you know, in Happiness, you know, there's a certain character in there who is, that you follow as a main character.
Yes.
Who does nothing but awful things. And you're just like, you understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand why they're doing it and why they're compelled to do it. But it's just like, no. Unless no, I understand why you're doing it. Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't. And then when they kind of get the comeuppance, it's like they are not wronged at all. They got everything that they deserve for going through with what they did and making that decision. It's just Solanz has made the choice to follow that character and put that character at the center of the story. And yeah, again, with Dark Horse kind of feeding on that wiener dog's dream of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I think at the very end of this movie, when he finally sees, he peels back the wallpaper and he sees kind of that height chart, that is the last thing that he's ever accomplished. You know, that is the last time anyone was proud of him for anything that he did. And all it was growing to a certain height and being measured. And that's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's difficult.
It is. And then the final, the little tag on the end where the secretary, who clearly cared about him so much, like she's dreaming about dancing with him.
Yeah.
And then she snaps out of it. She's at the office. And then it's just business. It's like back to, I don't know.
It's
crazy. And then the date where he died is wrong on his tombstone. And his brother points it out. And his dad is like, you know, your mom, it'll upset your mom. Just like, it doesn't matter. Like, shut up about it.
Yeah, man. That was rough.
I honestly think this is one of Christopher Walken's best performances in any.
Yeah, I mean, you see him especially, you know, even in the era that this movie was made, that he's kind of hired to be Christopher Walken and play a Christopher Walken type.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it was really brought in to play a character, you know, and he really, you know, he didn't have to do much, but he was like, okay, because that's what the character needs.
Yeah.
It's like holding your body like this.
He and Mia Farrow are so good as the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Walken has like this crazy hairpiece on the whole time, and like, he's got like a beer in his hand when he's at home. He's just kind of like silent and stuff, but like, and they both like love their son, but like, it's just like, how do you deal with this asshole? You know, he's like 35 years old. He's just.
So I think it's about time that we head over to the big roundup.
You know what? Let's do it, Will.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Hey everybody, my name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like what kind of ridic are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay, all from our very real hot tub.
Oh yeah, very real, not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Welcome back. We are here now with the big roundup of Dark Horse.
Yes. And, not a lot of tangents on this episode. We're just talking straight Solanz, Dark Horse. You know, I think
a lot of distractions on this episode that I have conveniently cut out, but no, not a whole lot of tangents, except I think in other Solanz movies.
Yep.
Randy, this is your pick. What would you give Dark Horse?
Well, I think this is a fucking amazing movie. I really like it a lot. I think when it came out, it was considered to be like Life During Wartime, and then this and Wiener Dog are kind of like I don't know, maybe some fans consider it to be like lesser salons and stuff, but I think this is the jewel of that era. I like all of those movies, but I love this movie, man. I was very moved by it, strangely. You know, it's he'll get it. I say move, I don't mean like it made me cry like in the Field of Dreams, but it was just like it. I felt weird and changed after I watched it. I've seen it before, but it was just like, it's just like a weird, dark journey into like, it's the kind of people that you know in real life that you never see a movie about, you know? And it was just like hard to watch, but kind of a necessary movie to exist, I think. And therefore, Will, I am going to give this 5 out of 5 stars.
Wow. All right. For me, this, I think you hit on a lot of that stuff about it being kind of, you know, the thing about salons is that he does all of his movies like this. And the thing with a filmmaker who maybe didn't speak a certain language, film language, would do this and overcomplicate it and make it only accessible to a higher brow audience. Mm-hmm. The thing I think about salons is that he does have the same sense of aesthetic that made a movie like Napoleon Dynamite the huge success it was. Mm-hmm. Is that because people related to that, they saw certain visual things in there and they strongly connected that to the character. And I think he does this very well, and in a way that you can give this to someone and say, this is what he makes movies about, and then they will understand it 100%. They don't. Mm-hmm. They may not like it, but they will understand what he is going for.
Yeah.
And so this one, I'm going to give it a really – my ratings are always interesting, mm-hmm. and come with a big explanation. I'm going to give this one 3.5 stars.
Okay.
And that is because compared to the rest of Salons' work, mm-hmm. I do think it is not as far as he has gone in the past. There are much, I think Welcome to the Dollhouse is way beyond this movie. I think storytelling is way beyond this movie as far as him kind of really going for it. Mm-hmm. But as far as a recommendation, I think that if you want to introduce someone to Todd Salons, and you don't want to throw them into the deep end too quickly, I think this is a perfect starting point. Mm. It hits everything. It's still disturbing, but not overly so. It doesn't deal with stuff like rape and incest.
Yeah.
And doesn't involve teenagers.
Or pedophilia.
That's
a huge theme throughout his whole work.
And
those who don't know, but not in this movie.
Yeah, and so it's something that you can give someone to kind of either say, this is kind of your litmus test of, do you want to continue on with this? If this disturbs you too much, maybe no. But if you do, maybe this can kind of temper you a little bit to what is about to come next, mm-hmm. as if you explore more of his work. So it is 3.5 stars with a recommendation for anyone who wants to explore the entire catalog of Todd Salons.
Yeah. And I'll just say, yeah, we don't even need to get into like Rex, because all my Rex are just going to be, everybody should watch every movie that he made. This one I picked because, yes, it's accessible. It's one that I've only seen once before, and I wanted to revisit because I really liked it a lot. And that said, I did give this a perfect rating, but like, I would give Welcome to the Dollhouse, Happiness, Storytelling, Palindromes, also perfect rating. Palindromes, if you said you hadn't seen that one, man, I think that's tied for me with being his, like, that ties with Welcome to the Dollhouse and is a sequel in a way to the Dollhouse.
Storytelling was so rough that I avoided Salons for a while. Because I just didn't want to. You got to prepare yourself for it, and I think this is the first one I've seen. I did end up watching Life During Wartime, eventually, and my biggest complaint with that movie is the way that it was shot, I don't like how dark it is. It's a different look for a Salons movie. And then this movie goes back to what his other movies look like. And so that's another thing that turned me off of Life During Wartime. Mm-hmm. The actual look of it. So
Life During Wartime is weird. It's a sequel to Happiness where he recast every role. And another thing about you got to just take with him, because all of his movies are interconnected, but he's very loose with details and timeline mm-hmm. and stuff. And so at the beginning of Palindromes, it says in memory of Dawn Wiener, and it begins at her funeral and she's commits suicide.
Yeah.
And then the dude who plays Matthew Faber, who plays Mark, is in it, and the parents are in it too. And it's like true, like a true kind of sequel to Welcome to the Dollhouse. But then Wiener Dog, Greta Gerwig is playing Dawn Wiener in a different timeline. And Rory Culkin or Kieran, one of the Culkin brothers, is playing Brendan Sexton's character.
Hmm. That feels a bit like another movie that we reviewed, If, and the Mick Travis trilogy, where the very end of If, he is killing, shooting up his school, but in Oh Lucky Man, he's working, it's 10 years later and he's working at as a coffee salesman, and they even kind of allude to the fact that he did shoot up a school, but not necessarily. And then all the people who played everyone in the last movie come back as different characters in this movie. So
it's cool. I love it, man.
I do too. I think recommendations for me are definitely just more Salons. If you're up for it, just be prepared.
Yeah.
And so I'll kind of leave it at that for now.
I think Dollhouse is another one that's like, it's pretty easy going. Like you can, that'd be another one, a good one to start on.
It is very heavy, and it is very quirky though. In a kind of John Waters in the 90s, it was a very 90s movie.
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit, a movie about a teenage girl that I strongly identified with. Uh-huh. Like that's him too.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
That's like his avatar in the movie,
Yeah, it is. But it's just like, as I've kind of found out with like filmmakers, is that if you kind of reach that level of success, you have to be someone who can work with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is a version of him, but that does not express the entire.
Oh, well, no, of course not. Yeah, I think he's probably like a nice, dude, for sure. I don't think, but like, I think that's like, a version of him that he put in the movie for sure.
Yeah.
And he does that too, like with Happiness, the sister who's dating John Lovitz, I think is to like, cause it's just like, she's like an ESL teacher, which is what he did for years and stuff like that. There's all these parallels to his life.
All right, Randy. Anything coming up? Anything you got going on? Anything we should check out?
Anything coming up? No, I don't. I don't know when this is coming out. Chat Pile had a Flexi come out. If you ordered something through the Flenser, that might be gone now. Who knows?
I know.
There's like 500 of them though, so.
I know. I'm trying to get one. I already own your shit though.
Yeah, well,
you buy another copy.
No, it'd be, the way to get it is to buy something through the Flenser, which is our new label. So you buy any vinyl from them, and they would
sell it
there for free. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's just a little piece of plastic. Anyway, it's a
gotcha. Flexi disc.
Cool. Anyway, now I see people are getting vaccinated. Some people are just like, somebody's like whispered to them, like, we have a few extras, and they've gone. I know people that have now gotten theirs, so it's like, it could happen to you, maybe. I don't know. I hope everybody can get fucking vaccinated. I know it's mutating and beating the vaccinations now or whatever. So who knows? Who knows what we'll be doing, But
yeah. Like, my folks got vaccinated. I hope you all do get too as soon as it comes to you.
Yeah.
So
my mom got vaccinated, which is good. So
yeah. For me, SupDoc every 2 weeks. Every week we got Nerd Rage at the Great Debates. And then this show here, rate and review, tell your friends. That's about it for me, Randy. So,
Will, always a pleasure. I know this is maybe a little short of an episode, but it was dense with us talking about Todd Solondz, you know, filmmaker that I love. I'm glad we got to do this. So,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you got me to watch a Todd Solondz movie I hadn't seen yet. So,
hell yeah.
Thank you for that, Randy. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back again with another movie.